Imagine you are walking down to a river. If you're comfortable with it, close your eyes or let your gaze rest softly in front of you. Let your external senses rest and turn inward. Imagine you are walking down to a river. You can feel the pebbles underneath your toes, or maybe mud squishing between them. You can smell the water, maybe the tang of decaying leaves. The water is pleasant when you feel it, moving slowly over your toes and feet, covering your ankles, your shins and calves, your knees. The water is cool, but not cold, refreshing, a relief. As you make your way deeper, you feel the water rise higher, over your knees and up your thighs, moving from your pelvis and hips up to your waist. You stop and listen to the birds and the breeze, feeling the sun on your face and shoulders. You feel expectant, a mixture of excitement, anticipation, uncertainty. You feel alive. Something is about to happen. You have made your way into the river for a purpose, and you are not alone. There are others in the river too, and on the bank, wading in and out, talking, waiting. And when it is your turn, you feel strong arms grip your shoulders, gently but firmly. They lower you towards the water, pause so that you can hold your breath, and then dip your head, shoulders, and torso completely underneath the surface before bringing you out again. You are submerged once, twice, three times. You gasp and sputter, feeling the change of air to water and water to air, disoriented, but still held. As you catch your breath, you feel the sun on your face, warming the water that clings to you. The breeze is cool. The sounds of the world are still there, but something has changed. You open your eyes and let your senses return to this time and this place, coming back from the river. Today we hear Mark's story of Jesus' baptism in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. And perhaps this morning we have not only heard the story read aloud from the gospel, but imagined it, felt it in our souls, in our bodies, with our other senses. The early church practiced baptism by full immersion, and many churches still do today, walking into the water or being dunked or dipped in it, moving from one reality to another, air to water, water to air, a felt experience of dying and rising with Christ. I don't imagine the experience for the characters in Mark was a peaceful meditation on a Sunday morning at church. People from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to John, Mark writes, which made, I imagine, for a rather crowded and noisy experience. People were pointing and talking, eating lunch, chasing children, waving and calling to their friends and neighbors. And at the same time, something else was happening. People praying within themselves, quiet and thoughtful, confessing their sins and seeking repentance, giving thanks, clambering disoriented out of the river. Both kinds of experience were there, just like both kinds of experience are here today, in us and among us. And then one day, which had seemed like every other day, another man is baptized. That man, and in Mark's telling, perhaps only that man, sees the heavens torn apart, a dove descending, and hears a voice. "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." In Mark's version of Jesus' baptism, we can read it as only Jesus who sees the heavens open and the dove descend. Only Jesus who hears God's voice. In this reading, it is a solitary experience, even as he is surrounded by all those other people, including John. This is true of Jesus throughout Mark's gospel. He will not truly be understood as the Son of God by the people around him until the cross. Our baptisms today are also a kind of both and of solitary and communal experience. Baptism is a sacrament, which in the Episcopal Church means an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. We demonstrate outwardly with water and oil what happens inwardly, making something visible that might otherwise be invisible. When Bo and Rye are baptized in a few minutes, they will not be alone. They will be supported in their Christian life by their parents and godparents, as well as by all of us and any community of faith they join. These are promises that we make to them, to one another, and to God. And we will not be the only ones alongside Bo and Rye, for they are baptized into a vast family of faith, made up of Christians throughout time and space, living and dead, near and far. This is a new beginning. Connected to that original "In the Beginning" that we heard Nancy read, an invitation into a new world, a new creation, a beginning as a member of the household of God. In the midst of all of this joyous external hubbub, there is also something quieter, more private at play, something that is between God and each of them, which is marked in a new way today. Bo and Rye will each grow in their own ways, cultivating their own loves and doubts, as we all do. Their prayers will be their own, their experience of God's still small voice, their own. And these inward and spiritual graces will be woven together with that outward and visible sign of God's adoption in the days and years to come. That weaving will form the cloth of Bo and Rye's lives in Christ. Our celebration of baptism today is a beginning for Bo and Rye. It is also a continuation for many of us. Living in this new creation as members of the household of God is a lifelong journey. The cloth of the sacrament continues to be woven. Each time our congregation gathers to reaffirm our baptismal covenants, we renew our promises to live our lives in Christ. The story doesn't end after a singular baptism, nor does it end when we leave the doors of the church. We have committed ourselves, covenanted ourselves to a particular way of life, to be lived at all times and in all places. Life lived by and in and with and through the triune God. So how might we live this particular way, the way of Jesus? The stories of Jesus give us some examples. In this morning's gospel, we hear of Jesus' solidarity and humility as he lines up with the rest of the Judean countryside and the people of Jerusalem for baptism. "This is incredible! The Son of God God's beloved, wades in the river along with everyone else, a human being like the rest of us, yet fully divine. God from God, light from light, the sinless one, is there in the water, seeking the same baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Following Jesus, we too are to strive for such humility and grace. And strive we must. The world cries out for it, for us to live out God's love for the world as we know it in Jesus Christ. We are called to be humble and to repent when we have done wrong, to extend grace to others, to act with love for justice, to care for the most vulnerable among us. Jesus presents us with this way of being, invites us into it. The stories of his life, his teaching, and ultimately his sacrifice on the cross, providing a roadmap. And they start here and now with his baptism. If this feels like a monumental task on a kind of rainy but now sunny Sunday morning, it is. It is why we ask for God's help as we undertake and reaffirm our baptismal vows. It is why we do not do this alone, but together, members of that same great family of faith. So when the mountain seems too high, when the hurt of the world and our own lives seems too great, return to that river. Wade into the water. Feel the pebbles and the mud underneath your toes, the sun on your face. Breathe deeply. Listen. You are not alone. Amen.